Hello, everyone. This is Kelly Beard of KarmicTools.com, and this is my version of a 2020 overview or energetic update for the year. Because it is an important year, it's more than a new year, it's a new decade, which always reboots a new cycle. So whether you follow along with the planetary cycles I'm about to talk about or not, we're still renewing a cycle, a natural cycle. So you can think 9 or 10 years ago and what was going on, and check in with all your decades, however many you've got to refer to, right? Overall, I'm going to say 2020 is a grounding, get in your body, simplify your life, clean things up kind of year. And here's why. There's going to be a lot of personal review, a lot of individual kind of shuffling and reorganizing based on forward motion that you want to have. But it's also preparation for 21, 22, 23, the years coming ahead of us, where there's going to be opportunities and options and ideas that you want to run with, that you can only do that if you have really released and cleared the past. I like it because 2020, 2 and 2 is 4, that's a 4. This is a stability year for us as individuals. Now, it is going to uproot many things in the social collective realms. And so my best advice is get back in your body, have a daily practice that allows you to stay present with the goodness or the safety that you are experiencing at this time. I seem to attract a lot of other teachers and guides and people who host circles and help people all around the world. So I kind of help the helpers a lot. And we have to work on our energy and soul work as well. So this management of year-to-year maintenance that we can look at, there's all kinds of ways to look at the numerology, but let's just say in the combination of the numerology and the astrology, 2020 is a grounding, anchoring year in preparation for expansion. So if you want to be able to take advantage of things and you want to be skilled, let's say, at navigating through new territory, which is what 21, 22, 23 is going to be about, and then 24, 25, 26 is a whole new ballgame in and of itself. So I can't stress it enough. If you're human in form on the planet, you have a body, you need to tend to it. And that will always help all the spiritual, emotional, mental work that you have to do go a lot better when you're in your body and listening. It is a communicator. It is your number one communicator. There's no translator and no middleman. So learning how it speaks to you and how it communicates your truth to you and communicates the falsehoods going on around you or within you, you know, your body is really good at that. You know, you may have heard the line, my mind plays tricks on me, but my body never lies. You know, I sort of live by that. So I encourage you. The other thing is, if you know anything about numerology, 4 being a stability kind of number, that means 5, 2021, is going to bring disruption or breakthrough. It's magical. It's freedom and creativity. I am a 5, so I know it well. But it can often also be the breakdown that precedes the breakthrough. So let's stabilize what we can. Let's clear what we can in 2020. Let's really use all the retrogrades to our advantage, because we're going to have Venus and Mars going backwards in the same year, which only happens every so often. Of course, the usual Mercury retrograde 3 times this year, and the social collective planets moving around doing their thing. So we have a lot of support for doing just that. And if you plan it right, which again is something Saturn will reward you with, literal rewards, and be open to blessings and miracles, because Jupiter in Capricorn, the blessings and miracles get pretty literal and tangible. So anything's possible. And let's operate that way, because truly, y'all, if we're doing FaceTime, we're way past the Jetsons now. Again, with getting our bodies in check and in alignment so that our telepathy will work better, all of our senses will work better, all of our magical skills will work better when your body is clear and the channels are open and everything's flowing, all the systems are running properly. You know, have a little check-in. That's what this year is about. It'll be rewarded. So the way I'm going to run through this real quick is one by one, solar, lunar, Mercury, Venus, Mars, on out. And then I'm going to do a quick snapshot of each quarter, if that helps my note takers any. So the solar lunar cycle we're in is finishing up Cancer Capricorn eclipses and getting ready to begin Gemini Sag eclipses in June. Now, these cycles, we're already knee-deep in Cancer Capricorn eclipses. We've talked a lot about this all year, so that's on a lot of my forecasts and other updates. So I'm not going to go into details like that, but what I want you to be thinking about is the cycle that we just renewed. So the eclipses come along, and they spend about 18 months in these signs. In this case, it's been a Cancer North Node and a Capricorn South Node, meaning the focus should be on Cancer, self-care, nourishment, tending to things on a personal level, sacred space, family, private life. Let's say past influences and memories and things that might be stirred up to be addressed again would be in the Capricorn South Node realm. So that goes along with all the digging that Pluto, Saturn have been doing in Capricorn anyway. So we're so positioned for such delicious permanent endings that are truly permanent, like lifetime permanent, that we can claim. And we can claim family in a whole new way, and we can claim business in a whole new way. And these cycles harken back. This cycle that we just completed was 2000 to 2002, forward to now, 2019, 2020. That's the whole North Node 19-20-year cycle. So if you remember the years, 2000 to 2002, and then the midpoint when it would have been a Capricorn North Node and a Cancer South Node, so it would have been reversed in 2009, 2011. So think about those years because they're going to reverberate or would have reverberated over the last year and a half. That's where you look for the thread of continuity or connection in how the eclipses shake up your Cancer Capricorn departments, would have happened during those years. And that's when you can find if it's home or work or public or private or family or relationships, you know, what really gets shaken up for you in those zones. And of course, if you have Aries, Libra, or Cancer, Capricorn, the eclipses were rattling those cages too. So no one's exempt. No one's exempt for sure. But if you have planets activated in these signs, then it is personal, and these years are just times of change. Eclipses bring permanent shifts and changes too. It's a break to realign to the now. It's a time that gives us that opportunity to look back and see where we've come from and look forward to where we're going. And I'm going to say that a lot throughout a lot of my audios. Go to your future self. Go 5 or 10 years in the future and ask your future self what they would really appreciate you doing right now, this year, 2020, and see what you get. These eclipses are personal for me, so I'm feeling it at home and work. So that's shifting, though, to Gemini Sag. So now Gemini Sag, Virgo, Pisces are going to be on deck for change and radical shifts and integration of the new path that we're on. It's a new direction to move from Cancer into Gemini. So where we are figuring out what feeds our souls in Cancer, we figure out what feeds our minds in Gemini. And our ideas, thoughts, and concepts get this upgrade, which it's going to get anyway with the Venus retrograde in Gemini. So we already have this pulsing Gemini energy coming in that's stimulating the mutable babies as it is. The eclipses are going to come through and do the same thing. Now, the last time we had this exact alignment, 19, 20 years ago, would have been 2001 to 2003. So you see how there's a little overlap, just like it is now in 2020. That would have been exactly what we're dealing with now, and forward, the midpoint would have been 2011, 2012. So those years would have been Gemini Sag eclipses shaking up that department of your chart. And so if you can, again, make any connections. Now, Gemini Sag, different vibration. It's air and fire. It's our little bits of information that we put together and tell a larger story with our choices and decisions and our lives and the way we live. It's all our ideas and our belief system is Gemini Sag's domain, let's say. For writers and authors and a lot of you, and like I said, a lot of the circle leaders that are part of my community, and me included, are all writers and publishers. So this is going to be really good coming into the new year, 21, you know, the end of 2020, 21, 22, for writing and publishing. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, too, with some of these other alignments. And that's the solar-lunar zone we're in for the next year or so. Mercury is going to retrograde in water and go direct in air, except for in the summer. July, it's going to retrograde and go forward in Cancer only. So let's just say with Mercury retrograde, well, let's first say it happens 3 to 4 times a year. My personal philosophy is that is not too much to ask to do a data dump 3 to 4 times a year of your mental body and give it a break. Give it a cleansing, give it a clearing. It's like Windexing the windows. It's important to do periodically. Mercury retrograde is always a chance to schedule downtime and communion with your angels, ancestors, and animal guides, to do a little bit of your magic and to work on yourself, to pull in and process the prior 3 months is essentially what a Mercury retrograde is good for. It helps us see things from other perspectives. It's not very good, as most of you know, for technology or mechanics or communication, and things can really go wrong because we're moving too fast or we're not checking the details as we go, we're not confirming things, we're not following up or following through. So we know the challenges of a Mercury retrograde, everyone does, but the good stuff in a Mercury retrograde is some of that inner work that we can do, the soul work that needs to be done, and your personal processing. If you just go balls to the wall through the whole year and you never integrate what you're learning or what you're experiencing or what you're even releasing and make sure that now that you've cleared space, what's filling it back up? Because the universe abhors a vacuum. So if you don't have a plan for filling these spaces and times in your life, then usually it gets full with non-essential. So that's another thing about planning your downtime. Go through the calendar, look for the Mercury retrograde dates exactly, and block out certain weekends or a night or a morning where you want to just have some me time. That's a really good exercise for Mercury retrograde. And the fact that we're coming out of a zone, last year was all water. This year's the overlap of water and air because next year, 2021, Mercury's going to retrograde in all three air signs. So here's another indication that 2021 is immersed in air energy, which is going to be very challenging for my earth children and even probably some of my water children. Air works really well with fire and more air, depending on the balance, right? Extremes of any kind are not good for anyone. So with a Mercury retrograde, the idea is that last year we processed a lot of emotions and feelings in the water signs, our psychic intuitive empath. I don't know about you, but I really confirmed a lot of different things about being a conduit for information. Part of it was in the body, and part of it was spiritual and energetic. And it was a fascinating and interesting year to do the Mercury mental work that we do, like I said, 3 to 4 times a year. So now this year, it's going to go backwards in the water and forward in air. In the early part of the year, it's retrograding in Pisces, going forward in Aquarius, and then October, November, it'll retrograde in Scorpio, go forward in Libra. See how that's water to air in both instances? So the review happens where we're still tying up loose ends around how we feel about certain ideas and concepts and things going on around us and processing information that we've gathered in the last 3 to 6, 9, 12 months. And then we're going forward in air, which always tells us to lighten up, expand, breathe deeper, breathe longer, breathe more often. You know, we should, as humans and earthlings, we shouldn't have to tell ourselves to breathe, but the world we live in, we end up holding our breath more often than not. So that's a lot of the air lessons that are going to come up. And the communication lessons and how you express yourself. And again, with authenticity and truth, being able to stand on certain things. So this year, our mental body is going to figure some things out about how we feel, but it's also starting to tickle those new ideas that next year, when it retrogrades all in air signs, I think we're going to have a whole stack of ideas to review and try to figure out which ones are worthy of going forward. Because after it goes through air signs, it's going to go through earth signs, which is going to help us concretize those ideas and get some forms. And not that, of course, we can't do that between now and then. I'm just saying the Mercury retrogrades will be about those themes. And it is a rhythm, and it totally repeats itself over and over and over. So getting a rhythm, especially if you have a lot of air signs in your chart activated, or if you're very mental or a super processor like a lot of people with Gemini, Sag, Virgo, Pisces are. They are the processors of the zodiac. So it's going to be a lot of processing and integrating, which is the other reason to get your body ready for that. And Venus retrograding in Gemini, the last time it did that was 2012, and here we're going to renew another 8-year cycle, 2020 to 2028, where Gemini is concerned. This is a powerful cycle to co-create with, and if you don't know, I do have a Venus monthly circle and a custom guide where you get all your Venus activations in one and a month-by-month guide that you can follow along on your own, or you can join us with the monthly class. And the cycle we're in right now is actually a Scorpio-Libra cycle, but when we finish in April-May, it's going to shift to the Gemini. So we're wrapping up the last Venus cycle, which initiated in late 2018. And so basically from fall equinox 2018 all the way through 2019, through spring of 2020, we've been renewing and reorganizing values and priorities in the Scorpio-Libra departments with a little nod to Leo, which was last August, was the midpoint energies where everything linked up. And it was really juicy and powerful for getting back in connection with our own power, our authentic selves, our hearts, and what we're passionate about. That's what the last 18 months has been about. And now it's shifting to Gemini. And so I like to tell people the order so that you can see how it develops over this 8-year cycle and why it can be really super juicy to co-create with Venus. Venus rules our love, money, and magnetics, what we naturally magnetize and naturally repel, what we're attracted to and repelled by. That's Venus's domain. What we love and what we just are so passionate about and can't live without, that's Venus. It's our heart. In another way, I always say Venus is like Mother Earth's sister. So she's the auntie that you can talk to about anything and that supports your dreams and always sees the best in you but won't take any crap either, that really believes in your higher level self. And so she won't let you settle and she won't let you hold back on your values and priorities, and it's a way to stay in touch with that. So that's why we've gone so deep in the Venus circle with this, because it really helps. Once you understand and you're really clear about your own values and priorities, it's super easy to negotiate with others. It just makes that much easier. But there's an order. Let's look at it from 2017 when she retrograded in Aries and connected us to a whole new identity and purpose. And then she went 18 months through that cycle, and she retrograded in Scorpio Libra, which is where she is now. Once you're connected to a new identity and purpose, it automatically opens you up to access to new power. And in this case, Scorpio Libra also brings in the value and the balance in your relationships, both regular everyday relationships as well as your intimate partnerships. So there was this renewal there of a connection to your power and the values and priorities around those things. Now, theoretically, we're anchored in this new identity and this new power. That means when we get to Gemini, we have so many more options. We have so many more options. You've evolved. The world's evolved. The planetary sky pattern has evolved. There's absolutely new support we've never had access to before. We can so do some new things, everybody. So the depth of your roots, obviously, that's how much you can expand. So if your base is stable, you can expand really wide. And that's what we're preparing to do. Venus renewing the values in Gemini is saying we're going to be presented with so many new ideas, thoughts, concepts, opportunities. I do believe telepathy is going to come into more mainstream as well, and we're going to communicate that way as well. There's just a lot that is going to push and pull us in many directions. And think about it. Last time it happened was 2012. And I can definitely testify to so many opportunities were put on the table that I was literally overwhelmed. And I don't want to be overwhelmed this time. I want to be ready to run with it. And I think I will be, so hold that vision for me, everyone, because that's the dream here as I've been anchoring and solidifying my base and practicing what I preach, because I want to expand. And I think 21-22 it's going to happen for Kelly and Karmic Tools and the Mystic Mentor and all these new goodies that I'm coming up with. So those new ideas. But after that, it goes to Capricorn. So Venus is going to renew in Capricorn, asking us to give those ideas a structure and a form and be responsible, choose something, like finally commit. Gemini always presents all the ideas. Capricorn's like, all right, what are we going to commit to? What's the most valuable? What's the number one priority? And as you do that, she'll go forward, and then she's going to retrograde in Leo, which asks us to reconnect with the heart and love what we're doing, love what we're creating, love life, love each other. It's so powerful. And then it will go back to that Aries-Pisces zone where it is overlapping on a cusp now. So for the last, I don't know, in the article I've totally written down all these dates and years, but I want to say 62 years or something where she was going backwards in just Aries, and now she's coming into Pisces. So the next 60 years, she's going to start inching her way into Pisces, and that's where the renewal will happen. And that'll have more to do with the values of our intuition and our spiritual connection, and again, being that spirit in human form, honoring the body and however much that can handle. And it'll go forward and come back to the Scorpio zone, like that's the 8 years between now and then. So there's a rhythm to it. And I always tell people every 18 months, you can renew your values and priorities in small, little, personal ways. And then every 8 years in big ways. So depending on those signs and which ones are activated for you will indicate, you know, which ones are stronger and more influential in your chart. But the one coming up in 2020 is Gemini. And that's what's going to affect Gemini, Sag, and Virgo, Pisces pretty directly to reorganize your priorities, get your values straight, pay attention to here and now, look back on 2012 and see what ideas you got to run with and what ideas didn't work or didn't happen the way you thought they could or would or should have, and revisit them. If there's any energy, if there's any chi, if there's any life force there, let's breathe new life into them and give them a new form that's more suited to here and now. And again, think future, not past. We're not reviving anything. We are building new and going forward with brand new tools and things. Then Mars is going to retrograde, which only happens every 2 years. So this is another one that we can co-create with who you are and what you want in your sacred masculine. Of course, Venus is our sacred feminine, where we contain, nurture, protect our creations and our loves and what we love, you know, right? So Mars going backwards reviews who we are and what we want every 2 years. So, of course, it would be lovely if we could all be on a rhythm of every 2 years upgrading that and being okay with those changes. But life happens. And you can go 2, 4, 6, 8 years and look up and go, oh, my God, who I am and what I want has changed 4 times over. And I didn't give it any room to really, it's like repotting a plant where the roots have gotten too big for the container. That's what happens if you overlook your work and these cycles and you go too long without checking in with yourself, right? We check on everybody else. We need to check in with ourselves, and that's my zone, y'all. I love helping people work on their individual selves so that they can go back in the world and help the world in their own way. So Mars retrograding this year is going to be in Aries, and that is very special. And the last time it did that was 1988, the last time it retrograded in Aries. So I like to also point out here how the zone of 1988 to 92 is really up again in these multiple ways, because this means Mars retrograded in Aries just like it's going to do in 2020, along with Saturn in Capricorn at the same time, because that's when Saturn was in Capricorn last. So that's the same family. So I want you to make those connections. I can definitely make connections to my independence and my freedom and my responsibility issues that were all up at that time, as well as some death and taxes and all kinds of the real dark Pluto issues were up. I lost several people in 90, 91 going forward. So it's an incredible zone to be in, again, if you can remember back that far and if you can track. Because there were high highs and low lows for me at that time. I had magic and unbelievable accomplishments and literally made the most money of my life. And then my mother died. So the low is lows, you know. So there was just really a mixed bag. And I want to navigate. At this point, I'm so different. The world is different. The sky pattern's different. We can do this another way, everyone. So Mars retrograding in Aries is all about who you are and what you want, right? But the sacred masculine, how you negotiate on your own behalf, get your ideas in the world, and hold good boundaries. So that's up for renewal, and it's all about you. Anytime Aries is kicking, I'll tell you, it's always you, it's always you. Everything you've attracted, manifested, experienced is some part of you trying to communicate with you. That's the whole point of learning about yourself so that you can pick up on those communications. And it's one of the blessings of shadow work when we go asking questions, because sometimes if you don't ask, subconscious things will undermine you because you never check in. Or outmoded beliefs, which we've been cleaned up of in the last couple of years. We don't want to believe the old way or the old beliefs that don't serve in the here and now. And Mars is definitely going to shake that up and get you very present to your independence. And it's also going to mix it up because, remember, Chiron's in Aries for a while there. And what do you want for your healing, education, and transformational soul work? You know, this is my earth medicine practice is all about this and figuring out what you need to learn to be your best self, what you need to heal to be your best self, and what you need to transform and get to know about your soul so that you can be your best self. That's where all my new work is focused on. So it's not astrologically based and does not compete with any religions or belief systems. It's just more tools and practices for navigating now, which we all need. And it's all been upgraded and updated to really help and support us going forward. And a lot of that is going to be magical. It's not linear. It's circular. It's a spiral. So we're practicing all these magical ways that we've talked about or thought about or practiced in secrecy alone, because I really think a lot about Harry Potter these days, y'all. I just really do. I feel like I'm working a lot of my own magic, and there's muggles about. And it's all good, but I feel like there are these kind of two dimensions happening, where there's one where magic happens and one where it's 3D. And how are you doing navigating? It's between 3D and 5D, essentially. How does that work for you? How does it work for your body? And what does that mean to you? So, you know, again, reach out if these are new concepts and you've never heard of 3D and 5D. Let's talk about that. But Mars retrograding, upgrade to those departments, really important. Definitely an upgrade in the Aries department of your life, and therefore will automatically affect your Libra, Cancer, Capricorn departments. So I like that it's on the heels of the eclipses, because we've already been shaken up about private and public selves and our home and work and our fundamentals of how we provide for ourselves and protect ourselves. Now it's like, what do you really want, and what's your purpose, and what's your direction, and what are you going to choose going forward, be a voice for and make a commitment to that is greater than yourself, you know, the community. Remember, a lot of the Aquarian stuff that's going to come in is all about humanity and the community. The Gemini is all about the ideas and possibilities, but you've got to choose one. You do have to choose. We can't do any indecisive vacillation type of thing. And Libra, we've already had great doses of Libra since 2010 forward, and so we've been digging up in the relationship departments, and that's a lot on my audios as well, so you should be up to date on the Libra stuff that this is the outcome of it. So Venus was the last one to stir it up in there and tell us it's time to renew the relationships we have and that we love and that are stable and part of our lives. Let's renew those and make them better. And any that have run their course and are basically energy leaks, or they're draining resources in a way and not contributing anything, the imbalance, not reciprocal, relationships, done, nobody has time for that. And it's not personal, and it's not bad, and it's you can be neutral, and self-preservation is not selfish. So right now, like I said, spend most of 2020 getting yourself together so that you can go play with others, so that collaborating and talking to people and navigating the world isn't overwhelming and depressing and chaotic and disassociated. You know, we're going for the wholeness and the cohesion going forward, and that's what we've built the base on. So just meditate a little bit in terms of, you know, who you are and what you want, and know that the masculine, feminine, both going backwards in the same year, is a total upgrade. So you're going to be rewired and stronger for the ideas and choices that you will make going forward based on your values and priorities, and the passion and purpose that you pursue life with is going to be renewed for 21, 22. And that's really juicy, and why this work of investing in yourself up front is going to be so worth it, I promise. Then Jupiter in Capricorn, like I said, last time that happened was 2008. Next time will be 2032. So I want you to remember the zone of 2007, 8, 9, which is when Jupiter went through Sag, Capricorn, Aquarius, which is the exact zone we're in here now. So last year when Jupiter was in Sag, it squared off with Neptune, and we talked about how that brought up kind of a crisis of faith for many people. What do we believe? What is possible? Can we be positive and when there's so much treachery and disaster and hardship and suffering and inhumanity, inhumane practices on humans and animals and all of that? It really stirred it up. Lots of calls to God. And now, this year, as Jupiter shifts into Capricorn, it's going to be in a sextile to Neptune in Pisces. So I think we can actually finally build some things that can help us, not the least of which is our own personal individual boundaries being also something that we cultivate this year. This year, you want your boundaries to be like hemp or bamboo, super strong, super flexible, and super breathable. You want them so strong they can protect you, but so breathable that you can always know what's going on around you to the degree that you need to know, you know, on a need-to-know basis. That's what I tell my higher self. I personally, I'm on a need-to-know basis. My higher self will tell me if I need to know something. And that's just how I walk through life. And it really works. You know, it takes a little practice, but then it clicks, and it really works. So this year, Jupiter's going to link up with Neptune three times over in February, July, and October. February 20th, July 27th, and October 12th. These are excellent prayer days. These are excellent days to work on your intentions and connect to miracles and blessings and communication with other dimensions and spiritual practices, rituals, ceremony. Juicy, very powerful timing to make your dreams and visions real. That's what Capricorn and Pisces get together and do. They make the dreams real. They bring God into form. You know, that combo. I mean, and that's energy. It's all energy, everyone. That's what I teach. It's all energy. We could take the names and faces off today, and we could still work with it. So just know that's the practice you're getting into. And so Jupiter and Capricorn bringing those blessings to that department is going to link up with Neptune, which means a lot of things are going to seem very ordained. So when you feel grounded and centered and you can follow your intuition this year, go for it. But look for those checks first. You know, still check in with boundaries and base all throughout the year. Jupiter in Capricorn is going to link up with Pluto. Now, this is very rare. This last happened in the 1700s. So again, with the 1700s coming back for Pluto's return, that's a lot. It's going to happen three times over in April, June, and November. Now, Jupiter conjunct Pluto is initiating a whole new cycle. For us, this is the only time in Capricorn. So again, the reverberations kind of ping out to Cancer, Aries, Libra. And of course, no one's exempt. Pluto's a collective planet. It's moving us all along. But Jupiter getting there helps the social levels and helps us integrate a lesson because Jupiter does educate and expand your consciousness and get you aware of things you might not have been aware of before. And we've talked about how Capricorn is the council of grandmothers or elders, the elder council of men and women who understand how the earth works and how humanity works and knows how it works together as a whole and how intricate and important each little piece or each little individual system that comes together to build a whole is. They understand that because they've lived long enough to see that. There really is nothing new under the sun, and we are navigating some fairly natural cycles in where Earth's concerned, but they're such big cycles that as human beings, it's hard to grasp. If you only live 100 years, how do you grasp a 26,000-year cycle? But the storms and the different things that are happening totally on time. Now, I'm not saying humanity hasn't accelerated it with its nonsense, but it is also part of a natural cycle, so it is kind of a convergence, you know. And so we want to call in the vision of how to use our wisdom, our technology, our advances of understanding, again, how the planet works and how our bodies work and how electricity and magnetics work. And we can do this better. We can take care of mama so well with some of these advancements. And I do trust and believe in the young people creating solutions to some of the industrial age problems that are what we're living with now. So that's what I mean. Some of the reverberations of the big cycles go back to 12 to 1400s. Is a really big, important one happening. So that's 12 to 14. Then the 1500s and the 1700s. Those cycles are all circling and whirling about. So let's be mindful of what we're calling in. If we can have those radical change, and if we have truly abolished slavery and all that goes with it, how do we do this in a new way, where we are a global family, where we all matter, but we also know how to work together for the greater good? And theoretically, that's America's slogan, you know, that we're supposed to be able to all have our own individual beliefs and still coexist peacefully and share resources. And no one is better than or more entitled to or more deserving. It's equal across the board. We all deserve fresh water and fresh air, and so do the trees and plants and animals who can't argue and fight with humans that are bowling over. So let's call in that vision for healthy wholeness and responses, because that's the beautiful thing about nature and Mother Earth. She's got a response for everything. She can heal and clean up anything we throw at her, but if we work with her, we could speed that up. And that's what Uranus and Taurus is going to also help us do, by the way. But I'm still on Jupiter. Jupiter and Pluto happening April 4th, June 30th, and November 12th, which is right after 11/11. So that's a powerful place to be for Jupiter and Pluto. And what Caroline Casey taught me years ago, that is also a marker for publicity and expanding your reach, and which is really what I'm going for in the new year. And a lot of you I know, like I said, that are leaders of your own circles and communities. It's all going to a new level now. And so, we need to think forward and think of the times in where we had opportunities and we weren't quite prepared. Let's be prepared this time, because this is juicy. And this, again, is an initiation in the Capricorn departments of your life, where utter transformation has already happened, where a restabilization has already happened, and so now a new truth and story can happen. I like it. And then Jupiter is going to move into Aquarius, where Saturn will already be. And this is sort of the biggie at the end of the year on winter solstice, 12/21/2020. Jupiter and Saturn link up, and that's the one that hasn't happened since the 12 to 1400s. So the short overview of this one, you're going to have to Google it and look it up and read some articles, because there's lots out there about this. But basically, Jupiter and Saturn get together every 20 years, and because they're the social planets, we can pretty much feel the shift in the social mores when it does that. So the last time it did it was 2000 in Taurus, and I feel like the last 20 years, truth and purpose has been all centered around Taurus issues, food, sex, money, all of the things that really matter. But if we don't have them in balance, and there's feast or famine or extremes or all or nothing, that's not the way to go. So we've definitely learned that. It's also got us very present to the earthly situation, global warming, climate change, all that. That has been totally up for the last 20. Now, what happens is basically they get together every 20 years. And for about 200 years, it's in a certain element. And for the last 200 years, aside from 1980, which is the one prior to 2000, it was all earth signs. In 1980, it was basically bringing in the overlap where it was going to switch from earth to air signs. So now, starting with this kickoff, December 21st, 2020, it's official. The next 200 years, Jupiter and Saturn get together in air signs only, for these every 20 years. So that tells me, again, with the ideas, concepts, technology, electricity, you know, just it's going to be really interesting how society, remember the social levels of Jupiter, Saturn, are going to change. And hopefully the shift from material wealth to intellectual wealth. It's going to be more like, I love the line in the Erykah Badu song that says, if knowledge was your wealth, it would be well earned. So that's our wisdom is going to be our currency. Our ability to share and teach along the way is part of our currency. Let's work on that and our value to the team out in the world, you know, whatever we're trying to do. So when they link up on that day, it's a great prayer day, and I'm sure we'll be doing something sacred on that winter solstice to claim a vision for humanity and the earth and to honor that, I think, the official Aquarian age has begun. It's so interesting. I don't know. You know, these are all ideas and concepts. Take what feels true for you and release the rest, for sure. That was Jupiter. And so Jupiter's going to give us some really good juju throughout the year, bringing blessings and benefits as it moves through Capricorn. And then once it gets into Aquarius, like I said, it's a whole new vibe, but that's the end of the year and more of 2021's energy. So we'll talk about that later. Saturn finishing up in Capricorn, like I said, until spring, then it moves into Aquarius. But while it's finishing, January 12th, their first really big activation of the year, well, I guess the 10th has the eclipse, but this only happens every 33 years. But in the sign, obviously, in Capricorn, it would be 248 because that's the last time Pluto was there. So this is a huge deal. This is the one that last happened in the 1500s. So again, with big cycles coming back. But for us personally, Saturn to Pluto is the transformation and initiation of a whole new reality. That's January 12th. So after the eclipse, we're going to have this brand new reality. Again, another great prayer day and zone for setting intentions around a new reality that you want to live and that you're willing to be responsible for. So powerful and such an important day to work with in our first quarter. Then the collective realms would be Chiron. Well, Chiron's still kind of social level, but Uranus, Neptune, Pluto. So Chiron in Aries, 2018 to 2027. This is for those born 68 to 77, would have been the last time it was there. So we're moving through that healing process, and nobody's exempt. But again, it activates the Cancer, Capricorn, Aries, Libra departments. And so they're all up for healing as well. So we've had transformation in those departments. We've had liberation in those departments. We are now getting our healing in those departments. And, of course, Jupiter and Saturn move through there all the time. So, and we just restructured the reality there. So that's huge. It's just a really juicy time for healing the self, the individual, working on you, figuring you out, getting you together. I'm all about supporting that. You know, like I always say, reach out if you need to. Uranus in Taurus is 2018 to 2025. And so the last time it did that was 1934 to 41. So we have talked a little bit about this one because it's come in the, over the last year or so. And that was after the Great Depression, and it was the beginning of the Fed and credit and the way we do money. So the way we do money is definitely changing again, and we need to think about that and what is that and what does it look like and how does it work and who does it serve is really the big question. Really determine, again, going into the future, what's going to be needed. How do we define our terms? And think about what I also made a little note here because it started to pile up, is that 24-25, the whole vibe changes because Pluto's going to move from Capricorn into Aquarius, and that's huge. Uranus is going to move from Taurus into Gemini, and Neptune's going to move from Pisces into Aries. So that's two air and a fire sign in 2024 and 2025. These years are pivotal. And so again, with getting yourself together between now and then, because those are the collective planets and they do move large groups along, and it changes our world and in a huge, tangible, trackable, there are plenty of books out there that speak to these bigger cycles, you know, the 1700s and what happened then and what a parallel we're living at this time. So being able to claim a new vision is going to be your superpower and what you need to do. With Uranus in Taurus, it's going to trine all the Capricorn or any Virgo you might have because it's earth sign to earth sign. So we're being liberated in our bodies. We're being supported to awaken in our bodies or at least in the earth realms of our chart. Very important to co-create with and set intentions around, right? But as it moves through Taurus, it's definitely for the next 2 years going to square off with Saturn in Aquarius. So Saturn in Aquarius wants a certain thing, a certain way. Saturn is about this stability structure, build it to last, and Uranus is like, blow it up, it's outdated, let's start all over fresh and new and different. And so those two squaring off are going to be working it out between Taurus resources and Aquarius humanity. So let's get it together, again with calling in the vision of what can work, what will work, and what will be the best for the highest number of people, the 99%. It's their turn, and that's what's flipping, that's what's shifting. And Neptune in Pisces is there 2011 to 2025, a 14-year zone. Last time it did that was the 1800s, so 1847 to 1862. Last year, Jupiter was in Sag, so it squared off with Neptune, and that was the one we talked about earlier about the crisis of faith. But this year with Jupiter in Capricorn, it's that delicious activation with Neptune that we also just talked about, happening in February, July, and October. So those are times where you can really gain some traction, either with your creativity and the vision for your life, or your spirituality and grounding a practice there as well, expanding your consciousness, learning something, and improving your life in some way. Saturn, while it's been in Capricorn, has been in a good sextile, gaining some traction about understanding, rooting out illusions and delusions, but also connecting to intuitions where even when things didn't look right, you could feel what was right or wrong for you. That's what those two have been helping us with, Saturn and Neptune, really helping us learn how to hone that. But as it moves into Aquarius, you know, Aquarius and Pisces are right next to each other, that might get tricky. Pluto in Capricorn is there 2008 to 2024, and last time was the 1700s, 1762 to 1778, which of course is when America USA was founded. So that's where we get to claim a new vision for what America really is and can be and what it's meant to be. This year, with Jupiter in Capricorn, it's a big deal. You know, the last couple of years with Saturn in Capricorn is a big deal, linking up with Pluto. But also with Chiron, the last several years of Chiron was in Pisces. It was like 10 years in Pisces. And so that really worked well with healing. I believe those born in the 50s and 60s had Chiron in Pisces. And Pluto's helped with a lot of that. But again, with the sensitivities and boundaries, the intuition and the psychic capacity, and then how much your body can actually handle in this way. So, you know, there's a lot of transformation around that. But now that Chiron's in Aries, it's kind of squaring off with Pluto, so we're being forced to heal certain things that maybe we've neglected a little too long or postponed over long. It's really time to address some things. It still comes back to, if you don't have your health and well-being, you're not a good servant for anything else. You've got to take care of yourself first. And that Aries message is always the same: independence, courage of your convictions, and overcoming fear and new beginnings. Let's just get it started. Let's take that first step. Let's be responsible for ourselves and our voice in the world, and really choose a direction so that a direction is not imposed on you, because that's the other thing about these energies. Whatever's good for the group is what's getting ready to happen. So we got to be in groups. We want things to happen like that. You feel me? It's really interesting how things are unfolding. And that's just a once over through the energies and the planets and what's up. Then if I break it into quarters, I'm going to suggest, I'll make this fast because we've already gone too long, but the first quarter, winter to spring, is the Mercury retrograde in Pisces going direct in Aquarius. So we're going to renew and review in that department. Of course, January 12th is the big deal. Saturn conjunct Pluto, initiating a new reality, a transformed, utterly transformed, nothing like before. Huge, huge. And we're going to have that first opportunity with Jupiter and Neptune to claim a new vision, to imagine something better for ourselves, and to use the eclipses in Cancer Capricorn to shake it up and shift gears and get grounded in these new ways. That's all under the first quarter. So we're going to have some change. We're going to have some initiation, and we're going to have some review go on between winter and spring that you are tremendously supported for claiming a brand new vision going forward. And then spring to summer, we have Venus retrograding in Gemini. For spring equinox, we've got Saturn moving into Aquarius. We have the first round of Jupiter and Pluto. That's on April 4th. And May 2nd, we've got Gemini North Node kicking in. So all together, we're going to be reviewing and renewing our values and priorities. We're going to be initiating new lessons and blessings in the Aquarius house of our charts. And we're going to move from the Cancer North Node into the Gemini North Node, shifting our focus and direction for the next 18 months onto more ideas, choices, and opportunities, and ways to tell our story in whole new ways. Now, that Jupiter-Pluto is, again, good for expanding your world and publicity happening. That one happens in spring. It also happens in summer, and it happens in fall. So we get a little shot at it three times over this year to really express ourselves and share our work and share our worth, share what we have to offer in really brilliant ways that will be changing lives. It's so rich. It's so great. From summer to fall, we've got another Mercury retrograde in Cancer. Very important to renew and review in those departments. Jupiter to Pluto, so that expansion of your reach, but also Jupiter to Neptune and expansion of your vision, along with three back-to-back eclipses. So summer is going to be active and change-filled as well, because it's also the crossover. So when there's this overlap between the Cancer Capricorn and the Gemini Sag, it's chaotic. And so when you're in it, it's hard to know what's what. But once you get on the other side of it 3 or 6 months later, the dust settles, things start to make sense. So just know that summer's definitely changes and initiations, many opportunities, along with that Mercury review. So slow down mentally, for sure, and really try to navigate that terrain as clear as possible. Fall to winter is when Mars will be retrograding through Aries, and we have the Mercury retrograde through Scorpio Libra. So we'll be rewiring our brain and our actions, choices, preparing us for 2021 and many more choices and much more action. Okay, so like I said, I feel like 2020 overall is a grounding year for an expansive year in 2021. So it's expand, consolidate. There's a rhythm to it. And in fall, we will experience, well, November, December, more eclipses. So it's deep. It's a lot in 1 year of change and challenges and movement and initiations and new beginnings. But that's where all the conjunctions are superpowered. They're amplified power when the planets get together like this. And ultimately, we start with Saturn-Pluto, where we are initiating a brand new reality that has never been lived before. And we end the year with Jupiter-Saturn, where the truth and purpose come together and are solid and initiate basically a new 20-year cycle that we can all navigate together. So I'm excited because I have been tracking the last 20 and the next 20, and I feel validated in so many ways of things that I doubted 28 years ago that are true, that have always been true, and that I know I can stand on now. So forward movement is going to be really interesting, and I'm so excited to share it with you and so grateful to have a community to share these insights with, that other people who care about what I care about, which is the sky pattern and the energies available. What we have available to work with. It's not good or bad, but thinking makes it so. We label things like that. But energy is just energy. So the better we can be neutral and understand that energy is neutral, again, the more effective we can be. And that's all I want to do, is help you be an effective individual so that whatever service in the world you're providing is top-notch. The world needs it. It needs your blessing. It needs your energy. It needs your ideas. We've got to really get forward thinking. And if you find a need and fill it, if there's something you see that is a need, trust me, you're not the only one. If there's something you want to learn about or review, you're not the only one. You want to experience, you're not the only one. So just holding the vision for what you want to experience and calling that in a new way, always leaving room for God to work, like this or something greater, Spirit, you know, whatever you want to bring in, I can see it this way, but I know that you have greater vision for me. I am open and willing and receptive to your blessings and your guidance. And call in the benevolent angels and ancestors and animal spirit guides to confirm and validate your messages along the way. That's a lot of what I'm going to be teaching going forward, is how to kind of do a lot of things for yourself, which I am a big proponent of, in case you can't guess. I have 5 planets in Aries. I always want to do it myself. And then I got 6 in Virgo. So, of course, I think I know a different way to get it done as well. So it's interesting what's being opened up for me and being able to track these cycles. But I have some amazing tools that have been just ready to play with others and be bigger than I have allowed them to be, because I've been trying to contain certain things while I was in parent mode. But now I'm ready to expand, and I love that I have you all to do it with. So thank you, thank you, thank you for everything, your friendship, support over the last 20 years. May we be together for the next 20 years. Do share this with those you think would resonate. And know that I'm starting the Soul Sisters Monthly, Soul Sisters Seasonal, depending on what you want to do. If you're working on you or you're working on offering prayers to the earth, that's what we do in the seasonal circle. And, of course, the Venus Circle, still ongoing. We're going to have a special guest in January, Micah Nielsen of alchemy.com, which is A-L-K-E-M as in Mary, I. She's amazing and does these essences, and she's a plant magical, inspiring creatrix. She's amazing. Can't wait to introduce her to you. That'll be in January, I believe January 16th, and I also have the podcast that I'm doing with Adi Shakti of soulwork.com on January 4th, but I don't think it's going to air that day. So I'm going to make sure you have links to all this as well, so that you can find me and do some of these extra fun things that I'm doing these days. All right, everyone, have a great year. Happy New Year. May you have ease and grace and open pathways all the way, and really bless these initiations, because it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning of a first day of the rest of your life. We're all really feeling that to some degree or another. And it can be stabilizing and positive and productive, but there are major changes coming down the pike, so you want to do as much as you can to simplify your life and be able to meet those changes with some equanimity and some trust in your own knowing of what to choose and which direction to go. It's very pioneer days again, but in a whole new way. In an energetic way, where if you understand energies and cycles, it really helps. it really helps. At least it's helped me and a lot of my students and clients. And so it's my story and I'm sticking to it. I really believe in following the patterns and working with them consciously. And I love helping you figure that out for yourself because it does put some really special, unique, and customized tools in your toolkit that were designed just for you, you know, too, literally. So peace and love. Talk to you soon. This is Kelly Beard of KarmicTools.com signing off.